Hi.
Hello, it's Lauren Levinson on the line. Can I ask you? Wow, there's a long echo. Can I ask a favor and deal with my issue at the beginning of the meeting, since I have another meeting at the same time?
Okay, yep, that's fine.
Okay, thanks. This is with ticket 42124.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we opened an Apple ticket to help us get a call, and didn't
write in the 42124 ticket, the connection to the other ticket. So the work is ongoing with the Apple team, but it wasn't connected to the original ticket.
Okay,
I hope we can have the problem solved with the Apple team this week.
We've been working on it already for more than a week.
Okay, that sounds fine. I think the sort of the complaint that I saw was not so much that the problem was still outstanding. I think it was just that people hadn't heard back from you in the trouble ticket. So if you could just maybe put a couple of lines in there just to say, you know, in progress, we're working on it, I think that should be fine.
Yeah, I wrote that in this morning. I'm sorry, I should have connected the two tickets earlier.
Okay, no problem. It's done with
now.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, thanks.
Then I'll sign off now.
Okay, bye. Thanks for your input. Thanks. Okay, so let's get back to speaking. So first item, going back to the beginning, feedback on the minutes of the last meeting. Any feedback? No, okay, so on to...
Well, I don't have any feedback as such, but there was a comment that I put in the minutes that people who dial in, it would be good if they could use the web interface to stick their names.
Mm.
Because at the moment we just see things like 0031 and 0097, which doesn't really help us to find out who's there. So either we do the roll call of those numbers, or people can help us.
Yeah, okay, so we'll suggest that for this week. But can everybody, because what we do, okay, to explain, what we do to save doing a roll call for the entire meeting, which takes a long time, we used to do it, we look at the attendance that is in the web page for the meeting. So where people log into the website for this meeting, then we get they can put the names in and their affiliation, and we get the information from there. And not everybody does sign in. Some people just dial in, which you can do, but then, of course, we don't see any names. So then what happens is we say that you're absent, that whichever thing you are representing is absent, because we can't see the names and we can't resolve the phone numbers to anything that means anything to us. So please, can people log into the web page, into the tool? Actually, what I'll do is, I don't know, is there a link around? In this week's minutes and on the agenda, I'll try and remember, we'll put a link where the link where you need to go to log into the tool. But please do log in and put your name and the I don't know, institution or role or site or whatever it is you're affiliated to, so we can see it. And we'll put it into the attendees in the minutes. Okay, thanks. So, moving on, grid operator on duty handover from Central Europe and Asia Pacific to Germany, Switzerland and Southeast Europe. So from Central Europe, I didn't see anything in the report. I didn't see anything to report at this meeting. And we just spoke about ticket 42124, which was the Weizmann site in Israel. They're working on their problem, but they'd forgotten to update the ticket. Is there anything else from any of the COD teams involved in the handover? No, okay, we'll move on. We have the pre-production service reports and issues and release news from Antonio.
Yes. So, as we said last week, with July 3.1 update 39, the new IDRA service was released to GPS. Now, there is currently no activity in progress nor scheduled for this service, so we have no use cases so far. Therefore, according to the new process, this should be released in the production repository with the next update. So I asked around with the help of Joan Montagnat, I think he's from the yes, he's from Biomed, he should be at NICE. So he tried to get in touch with users from the Biomed community who are potentially interested in the service, but we didn't get any reply so far. He also gave me a list of sites who are potentially interested in EDS activity concerning Hydra, and there is NICE, Clermont-Ferrand, Creatis in Lyon, University Polytechnic of Valencia and IBCD in Lyon. Now, I don't know how many of these sites are...
Enter an access code, then press pound. To cancel, press star.
But if the ROCs are aware of any sites in EU, might be interested in doing activities with...
Enter an access
Hydra.
Code, then press pound. To cancel, press star.
They are welcome to contact me, and so we see. Basically, we are looking for sites volunteers to do deployment testing and participation.
Thank you for calling the Alcatel.
Sorry, that was the time to join.
Okay. So again, we have we are available to help with pilot services and deployment testing, but we need some sites in support. So the ROCs are kindly requested to investigate, especially the France ROC and the Southwest Fusion ROC, because they are included in the list gave from Johan. The list is on the agenda. I think that's all for the PPS news, so I would move to the Gillette releases if there are no questions. Oh, okay. So last week we released to production at Gillette 3.1 update 35. It was a bit late, and it includes the bug fixes for Cream, namely patch 2002, and the new version of Bones, the one tested by Steve Traylan in the pilot. Then there was also a new job manager for SunGrid, for the SunGrid engine, and the an update to the Dcache server and Dcache client corresponding to patch 2398 and 2399. There was also a long-standing patch 1834 for LCAS and LC maps. It has been waiting in PPS for a while, then we decided to release it. And the new version of GFL clients. So this happened last week. This week we are waiting for July 3.1 update 36, which will contain a patch for FTS, namely a bug fix and fixing a problem in the format of log files, and it will include also a fix for the bouncy castle problem that was found last week. So in fact, this release was delayed because of this issue seen during the certification, basically during the release preparation. This patch of FTS was supposed to go in production already last week. Then during the release preparation, there was this a bouncy castle upgrade which hit several Gillette packages. Maybe you have seen the broadcast. I think there is an item in the agenda. So this release will contain the fix for this problem as far as FTS is concerned. So the next release of FTS is safe from this perspective. And there will also be bug fixes for TMC, namely patch 2417. So for the Gillette release news, it's all. Any questions?
No? Okay. With the interesting sound effects in the background. Okay, so we'll go on to the EG issues coming from the ROC reports. The first one I came across was from ROC France, information. IN2P3 CC, central LFC for Biomed VO is currently overloaded due to a growth in the Biomed activity. They upgraded the hardware on Friday, but the problem still exists. The problem might be due to some limitations in the number of simultaneous connections between the LFC and the Oracle database. They are contacting the LFC support, so the developers, to find out if there is any scalable solution to this. So their apologies to Biomed, if Biomed are on the line. They're trying to fix the problem as quickly as they can.
Hi, Nick. Pierre speaking.
Hi.
I'm removing my apologies because to Biomed activity, and they used something like a list replica with the LFC, and this is obsolete, and there is another functionality to use to do the same, and this function keep the connection open, and so we are in contact with Biomed people to change the application that does that. So this is not due to the LFC, this is due to the VO.
Okay, so it was their own application that was causing the problems, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay, interesting, because the next item is from ROC UK Ireland, also about Biomed, where they're saying that one user's activity has caused site instabilities because it's transferring almost 3 gig files around the grid to worker nodes from different sites. Looks like it's from one single UK site to a lot of other sites. They sent a ticket to the user, and it sounds like the user has restrained themselves. However, this is the user did say that they're submitting these jobs with the native EG commands, so like GLIWMS job submit, and the jobs then access a 2.8 gig file through the command LTG copy. So they're not doing anything that isn't outside. They're not doing anything illegal, shall we say, or to be frowned on. They're just using standard commands. I guess the question is, I don't know if Jeremy's on the line, but I think your question was, should we educate the users? Is that right?
Well, yes, and also should the VO learn to educate the users? So it's not just one site. I've given one example here, which was the Edinburgh site, but we actually see this at a number of different sites in the UK.
Okay.
So basically, they're generating single large files, which they're then requiring to work at other sites, and then there's massive replication out to the other worker nodes. So the two plots show this. So for the first plot, you see look at the second plot first, which is the number of connections being requested to a given storage element. In this one, it's the DCM at Edinburgh. And you see that the tens of connections, although the ESC is able to manage the connections, there's an awful lot of requests within a given time for the same files. And then if you look at the effect on the efficiency of one site, again, the Edinburgh site, you see that plus the number of Biomed users, the efficiencies tend to be down at around 10 to 15%, which is quite poor. And it's because it's IA limited all the time. We've had a few sites that are struggling to cope with the loads of stress on their bandwidth, their site connectivity bandwidth, just simply because these files are being copied out to a number of different places. So the question really is about workflow. When you get to this level of requirement, you need to start looking at using the FTS or other data management mechanisms, not simply using native commands.
Okay, this is a good question. I'm not sure how we... Because although we could say the site should communicate with the VO about this, this is obviously not an issue at a single site. This is something we need to re-educate the VO to use, as you say, to adapt their workflow. I'm not sure how we go about doing this. Maybe we'll need to contact NA4. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think we'll unless you've got any suggestions, Jeremy, I guess we'll take it offline and try and figure out the best way to do this.
Yeah, well, what we've done is we've raised tickets like the one that I've given leaked on the agenda, and the user's response is, okay, well, we'll just replicate these files to a few other SEs so that it's not such a strain on that single SE, but it's still a problem the way they're using
data
transfer.
Okay, I mean, it sounds like we need to re-educate them in how they should adapt their workflow to, obviously to not burn up lots of bandwidth.
But what they might come back with is a suggestion that this is a limitation with EG middleware.
Sorry, say that again, you were breaking up.
They may come back with a comment that this is a limitation in the EG middleware.
Yeah, I mean, which is, probably is, but we should ask them, so that doesn't mean they can, kill the grid just because the middleware isn't perfect. I mean, I think what we should do is give them some options or alternatives on how they could do things differently that wouldn't have this detrimental effect. So I think that, I don't know, I mean, my suggestion is we'll take it offline, try and come up with some options for them, and then either contact them directly or through NA4 to try and get them to change their habits.
Yeah, I think suggestions would be useful for them, especially since the users, they seem to be PhD or people writing out their thesis and they're just trying to do work quickly.
Right, okay, so in that case we should, so we probably need to contact the VO as well to get them to, as you say, to get them to educate their own users as well. Okay, so we'll follow this up offline. I don't think we'll be able to fix it here, but we should definitely follow this up offline and we'll put an action in. Ouch, sounded painful. Okay, let me just check, right. So I think if that's okay, Jeremy, we'll take it offline and try and progress this outside of the meeting. Okay.
That's fine. I suspect this is affecting a lot of sites, not just UK sites.
I suspect you're right. Okay. Okay, so we'll move on. Also from the UK Island Rock site, so the Lancashire HEP site saw a problem with a worker node update. The ticket seems to bounce around without anybody really knowing how to help. So basically, the point is that the site and Rock have been struggling to understand and fix the problem, but they need the help of middleware experts. I guess this, in that case, I suppose the ticket should get directed to the relevant middleware support unit. I'm not sure.
There's been quite a lot of help from different people. I mean, Antonio and John showed their both input on this. I mean, the basic issue is that this was supposed to be a simple Glite work and a version change at the site, and it seems to get mixed up with issues to do with 64/32-bit incompatibilities, and it's taken, a week already, and we still no closer to understanding what's going on. The site now is just returning to reinstalling the whole 64-bit architecture, the 64-bit Glite, whereas it would be better if we'd understood this and perhaps gone familiar with people quicker. I don't know, that's my opinion, but perhaps other people think it's more site-specific.
Okay. I don't know.
I took a look at this, Jeremy, and I couldn't get access to the site. It wouldn't trust me. So I got stuck at that point. So I'll try more persistently, and I'll send a mail to Lancaster if I still can't get in. There was Lancaster was for a long time running an old SL30CE. That's still the case.
I didn't think they were, but they could be. I'll need to check.
Yeah, there's a possibility that while they're upping and downing the worker nodes, it may actually be the old version CE is actually involved in the solution.
I did see that comment that was passed on by John, but I didn't look into it or Antonio.
Okay.
So another reason for raising at this meeting was just that I've heard at previous meetings people mentioned 32-bit, 64-bit issues with the worker nodes. So it's just a core reference to this for other people that might be having problems with a recent upgrade. But it does seem limited to this one site, this particular problem.
Okay, so it sounds like Steve will be trying to help them out there. So, Maria, do you know if there's a support unit in GGUS that is general expert middleware help? if you sort of get to the end of a road and you've got no idea, and the rock doesn't know, so you've got no idea, is there a general please help me
And there used to be the what is called the deployment unit for, you know, very complicated and obscure problems about deployment.
Okay.
But I think that somehow people stopped responding to that unit. I think it's still there. You can look at the third level unit.
Okay.
And
see what
the last resort units.
Okay.
But it's not systematic, and because it's something that is not used very often, people tend to.
And it's not a good idea, probably, to have a general expert. Expert, please help me, because everybody will feel not concerned. So if you see it there, you will.
I mean, to be honest, without seeing the ticket, it's difficult to know how to direct things. But okay, I mean, for this particular instance, Steve will try and help out. I was just wondering if there's something we should do generally.
They've been there.
That's lovely.
we're part of the one that's been
bouncing around,
but it's. It started failing at 4 o'clock one morning, which coincides with some of the time that automatic updates happen. And because they're the only sites that are failing it, it's actually a misleading. That's the assumption. Because of a 64-bit incompatibility, that you get the strange misleading error result.
Okay.
It's just bouncing around. It's obviously Bouncy Castle again.
Okay, so for this particular one, I think we've got a way forward, but I'm not sure how to deal with these things generally. We'll see if more of them come up, we'll try and figure out what to do with them. Okay, so we'll move on to the next point. So again, from Rock UK Ireland, site availabilities don't take into account our SRMV2 systems, and as a result, the overall RAL availability. Let's come back on. I need to get a new laptop. The screen keeps going blank. I've got it back. As a result, the overall RAL availability is dependent on a D-cache service, which is no longer considered frontline service. SRMV2 is not being in the overall availability figures is a problem with the monitoring, not with the sites. And of course, this doesn't only apply to RAL, this applies to all sites. However, there is an update, thanks to John. So he told me that at the last week's WLCG Management Board, which was on Tuesday, the decision was for the WLCG sites choose SRMV2 in the availability calculations as of December. So I guess this is being put in place now, is that right?
The tools are basically in place. The question is that, is to basically stop looking at SRMV1 and use SRMV2 instead, because from WLCG point of view, there should not be any SRMV1s left. And there are, this morning I looked, there were 30 things declaring themselves as classic SEs. We're not sure whether those should still or not. And so the thing is that since we are also dependent on the general availability calculations used by WLCG and produced by GridView, then it would be very convenient if we were also to agree at this point that as of December, we will be looking at SRMV2 tests as well. So this is a sort of a heads up, and also if anyone violently objects to let us know.
I think we'll bring this up at the next yesterday one, or we'll begin it on the...
Well, wherever it's brought up, it has to be brought up quickly, because this is happening within the next few weeks.
Well, I'll send out an email to the ROC managers and everybody on the SA1 coordination meetings. And so next week, I guess, we should ask for, as you say, violent objections by next week, otherwise by default, it will be the case from December. Okay, any questions or comments on this one?
Just from RAL to say thank you for the update.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so moving on, the final point, Rock UK Ireland, again on the topic of SAM. Any progress on centrally identifying common problems seen in SAM? So this is with reference to the top-level BDI problem that was seen recently and the effects that it had. Is there any way of masking these issues that aren't necessarily SAM's problem but are some sort of central problem?
Well, there are two things. There's the masking of the issue in the availability calculations is there's progress there in the sense that we have this notion of masking and then grid view calculate around the messed up figures. So, in theory, the problems are masked out. But I think the other question here is whether there isn't a way to sort of automatically tell everyone that we've seen a central problem and that therefore they shouldn't get worried about it. And okay, this problem in particular was the SAM BDII and also the LCG BDII getting their knickers in a twist because of GRIF republishing themselves and generally causing confusion. So what's a bit surprising is that not all the top-level BDII suffered the same thing. But I guess one thing is that we could make an EG broadcast at the time once we've understood what's going on to say that it's understood and it's a central problem. Is that what you're asking for?
It is, yes. I mean, it's basically how do we stop people wasting time when there is a well-identified, well, often there's an identifiable common source problem.
Uh-huh.
But since the site admins often work independently, they don't realize this until they've all done the work. So you don't end up with 1 or 2 hours of work being done. You end up with the integration across several sites. So that's like 10 hours work.
Yeah, okay. We'll try and do better next time.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on. So this was a point that Antonio alluded to earlier. Problems are being seen with Bouncy Castle from JPackage, from JPackage repositories. This is an extract on the agenda, is an extract from a broadcast that was sent out. I'm not sure if it was today or last week, I can't remember. But it gives a list. So basically, because of how the middleware uses Bouncy Castle and not doesn't use the whole of the J package, then we basically, or we, but the middleware is susceptible to this problem. So basically the request is for sites not to upgrade to Bouncy Castle 141. Wait, there are a bunch of fixes coming through to remedy the issues that would be seen or have been seen by sites that have upgraded, maybe through auto-update or something. And there's also there a list of node types affected by the problem. So, any questions?
So it's worth adding, so the updates that come in not only correct the problem, but they stop it happening again as well. So if Bouncy Castle gets upgraded again, everything shouldn't die.
Okay, any questions? Oh, okay, moving on, WLCG, almost on time. Issues coming from the ROC reports, I didn't see any. I don't know, did I miss any? Any ROCs want to raise anything? Oh, okay, we'll move on. Service interventions, so the links are there. As usual, please do consult the URLs. I tried to give a very brief, so the outages or the scheduled downtimes that I saw in the GOCDB from now for the next, up to the next 7 days, I tried to list there. So they're not in, well, they're in the order that they were in the GOCDB. So, but they're the sites with a very, very, very brief explanation of what the downtime is and then the level of downtime, so at risk or outage or whatever. So it's just so that there's a quick check for people.
There may be a VOMS intervention next Monday, a week today. There'll be a broadcast Tuesday, Wednesday this week, if there is.
Okay, any of the other tier ones know of any, or any of the other large sites know of any interventions that they can't see in that list? Okay, moving on then, WLCG operational review. I didn't see any reports from, although I have to admit it was a little while since I checked. But I don't know, is there anything from Harry, first of all, any other view? So we can go down the list. Do we have anybody from Alice? Fine. Anything from Atlas to report?
Charles Alessandro, nothing special from Atlas except maybe repeat also in this meeting one of the things that has been mentioned during the daily one, that is the problem that has been solved between BNL and CNAF. This has involved many people from different different places. 3 weeks has been needed to solve this problem. Now, Atlas thinks that could be very useful to do this kind of tests also maybe between the other tier one, such that the matrix for the matrix in the sense of the distribution matrix can be understood, and the backup one also could be understood in case of failures. So it's something that is an open issue since a while, and we should not forget.
Thanks, Alessandro. So, I think from CMS, anybody from CMS on the line?
Hi, this is Daniela speaking.
Hi, hi.
Everything quite smooth. We are sort of ramping down from the midweek exercises we did over the past weeks. And I've been busy on other issues over the past week, so I'm quite silent today.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that.
Thanks to you.
So anything from LHCB particular to report or nothing for this week? Okay. I spoke to Flavia, there's nothing really to report from the storage services. We'll leave them as a standing item. The links to the Twikis are there for people to go and look at. So moving on, OSG, do we have anybody from OSG on the line? Rob or anybody?
Yeah, this is Rob.
Hi Rob. Is there anything you wanted to raise? Any points?
Actually, I have a few tickets to cover. Two of them. One is 43772. That's been sent on to Atlas for review, but we haven't heard back from them. So that one's still in a pending status. 43773 has been resolved. And then actually 43829 is a known Globus bug, so I resolved that and pointed towards the Globus bug Bugzilla report.
Okay, thanks Rob. Did you see any tickets?
There's nothing in the escalation report today, Rob.
Yeah, these were all opened last week, so.
Okay, so thanks for the update on those.
Yep.
Any questions from anybody? Anybody got questions for OSG generally?
So can I ask something, Rob?
Sure.
At the last GDB meeting, there was Ruth on the phone, and there was this guy called Shank. Do you know this guy from Boston? Ooh.
What was his name?
Shank?
Yeah, Jim Shank, yeah.
Jim Shank. So we have this remedy with this Savannah ticket concerning a possible extract from a repository like the OIM of OSG's site names.
Mm-hmm.
This is not dissociated with routing to the local help desks or anything of the tickets. We keep the workflow like we have it today. We do have the entry point via your premises at the OSG GOC or whatever. But we are still interested in obtaining the names of these sites. The outcome of the GDB was that Atlas will defend their cause in the ticket, and there were all the relevant people from Atlas, Alessandro and Graeme and Dario, etc., and that you, from OSG, you will say what is your position. Ruth said it is not a cast in stone that no access to OSG is possible, but they just want, you just need to understand a little bit what exactly their requirement is.
I have a meeting with Michael Ernst, who is the U.S. coordinator for Atlas, tomorrow, to talk about exactly what they need. Now, so if you're only trying to get the site name, and you're just talking about the name of each of the sites.
Yeah, the site name is the one which is necessary. Now, whether it will be sufficient, it is up to the VO to negotiate with you and see what's going on. But for us at our level, it would be good to have the site name.
Okay, so that is available via OIM, and I did see you registered, but it's actually even available publicly, and I can send you that information. And there's both a web viewable and a machine readable, some basic information about each of the sites.
Okay.
So I will.
So we take this offline in the ticket.
Yes, yes. So okay. I will send this to you right now, and you can tell me if it's what you need or not.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else? Questions for OSG? No? Okay, we'll move on. Any other business? Nope, very quiet. Okay, thanks everybody for joining. Next meeting will be next week at the usual time. Thanks then. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.